B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Yuma Daf Ayin Gimel. We're going to start four lines from the bottom of Daf Ayin Base Omud Base. Says the Gemara, Ba'elu Nish'olin Ba'urim V'tumim. And this takes us back to the Mishnah that we learned previously on Daf Ayin Aleph Omud Base, where the Mishnah says there that the Mishnah discusses the difference between a Kohen Gadol and a Kohen Hedyot, that the Kohen Gadol wears eight clothes and the Kohen Hedyot wears just four. And then the Mishnah continues that Be'elu Nish'olin B'urim V'tumim, that when the Kohen Gadol was asked a question, or when the Urim V'tumim was asked a question, then the Kohen Gadol, who was wearing the Urim V'tumim was an extension to the breastplate, to the Choshen. Inside the Choshen was put Hashem's name, and we'll soon see later on in the Gemara how this worked, but with aid of this Urim V'tumim, the Kohen Gadol could ask a question, so to speak, to the Shekhinah, to Hashem, and receive an answer through the Urim V'tumim. And the Kohen would have to wear his eight clothes when asking a question from the Urim V'tumim. Says the Gemara, Ba'elu nish'olin b'urim v'tumim, ki aso Rav Dimi. When Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, Omar, he said as follows, and this doesn't seem to have anything to do with the Urim V'tumim, but this version of Rav Dimi that we're about to see, actually the Gemara later on, Daf Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph, is going to speak about Rovin, who came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, and Rovin has a different version of this statement, and there it's going to be a statement which is going to discuss the Urim V'tumim. But let's see Rav Dimi's version. Rav Dimi said as follows, Begodim shekohen gadol meshamish bohem, the eight clothes which are used by a kohen gadol when he does the avoda, mashuach milchomo meshamish bohem, then a kohen who is called mashuach milchomo, we'll see about that in a moment, this kohen also wears these clothes when doing the avoda, shenemar, as it says in the pasuk, uvigde hakodesh asher la'aron hiya levonov acharov lemoshchovahem ulemalei vames yodom. So we learn from here when it says that these bigde hakodesh, the eight clothes of the kohen gadol asher la'aron hiya levonov, will be for his descendants acharov. The pashut pshat of acharov is after him. But the Gemara says here, Lemi shebo begdulo acharov. It's referring to somebody who is one notch down in prestige in his job, that a Kohen Gadol, he is the highest level, but the one that comes after him in greatness, a Kohen Gadol who is, so to speak, a lesser level, him also, acharov, this lower level, Kohen Gadol, he also wears the eight clothes. That's what Rav Dimi said. And in order to understand this Gemara, there are five different Kohanim that are going to be discussed in this sugya. You've got a typical Kohen Gadol Moshuach, which means a regular Kohen Gadol who was anointed when he became the Kohen Gadol. Then you've got a different Kohen Gadol called a Kohen Gadol Meruba Begodim, which means that for whatever reason, when he became the Kohen Gadol, he was actually not anointed with this special Shemen HaMishcha, but he was nonetheless a practicing Kohen Gadol who would wear the eight clothes. And there's almost no difference between a Kohen Gadol Mashuach and a Kohen Gadol Meruba Begodim. There's only one difference, which is the concept of Par Kohen Moshiach, which means which we'll discuss later. Then there's another type of Kohen, a third type, which is called Moshuach L'Sha'ovar, which means that you had a Kohen Gadol Moshuach, and he was only a temporary, he was a filling in for a Kohen Gadol that was practicing. If for whatever reason the practicing Kohen Gadol Moshuach could not serve for a period of time, if he became Tomei or something else happened to him, then temporarily there would be somebody who would replace him, and that would be called a Moshuach. He would also be anointed as a Kohen Gadol. But when the original Kohen Gadol could go back to work, then this now Moshuach She'ovar, which means that replacement after the original Kohen Gadol went back, he's now got this second person has a history of having been a Kohen Gadol, but he's not the real Kohen Gadol. And that has many halachas similar to a Kohen Gadol Moshuach. There's only two halachas which are different, there's only two halachas which apply exclusively to the practicing Kohen Gadol, to the main Kohen Gadol. All the other halachas are similar between the Kohen Gadol Moshuach and the Moshuach She'ovar. And then you've got a fourth type of Kohen, and this is a Kohen Moshuach Milchoma. This is a Kohen who was anointed, but his only job was, or his primarily job, his main job, was in order to be there to accompany Klal Yisrael when they went to war. He would have his job of speaking to Klal Yisrael. These are psukim in the Torah, exactly what the Moshuach Milchoma would do, and later on in Shas we're going to learn about it at length. Now this Moshuach Milchoma, most of the halachas are not similar to Kohen Gadol. There are five, we'll see, six halachas which are similar. And then you've got the fifth Kohen we're going to speak about is a regular Kohen Hedyot, which is a Kohen who is not a Kohen Gadol in any way, never was, and is not anointed to be the leader leading Klal Yisrael to the war. A regular Kohen where none of the halachas of Kohen Gadol apply to him. What Rav Dimi said here was that the Kohen, which was a Kohen Moshuach Milchoma, is a Kohen who wears the eight clothes. One of the halachas of Kohen Gadol is that he has to wear eight clothes, and we have a discussion whether the Kohen Moshuach Milchoma also has to wear the eight clothes. And Rav Dimi says here that in the same way as the Kohen Gadol, the regular Kohen Gadol, serves with eight clothes, so too the Moshuach Milchoma. That was Rav Dimi, and the Gemara is going to ask a couple of questions against Rav Dimi. Masiv Rav Adabava asked for Omri Lo Kedi, and some say that it wasn't necessarily in the name of Rav Adabava, just this was an anonymous question that was posed against Rav Dimi. Yochel Yehei Benoy Shel Moshuach Milchomo Meshamish Tachtov Kederech She Benoy Shel Kohen Gadol Meshamish Tachtov. There's always the question that when somebody held a position and then that person passes away, then does his son inherit the position that he had? So we know that a regular Kohen Gadol, in the event that his son is fit to be a Kohen Gadol, he will inherit the position and he will become the next Kohen Gadol. The question is, the Kohen Moshuach Milchoma, does his son inherit that position or not? So it says in the Braisa, I may have thought that the son of the Kohen Moshuach Milchoma takes over from his father in the same way as the son of a regular Kohen Gadol takes over his father. Talmud Leimar says the Braisa, no, that the son of the Kohen Moshuach Milchoma does not take over, and we learn it from a Pasuk. The Pasuk that speaks about how one inaugurates, how a Kohen Gadol actually becomes the Kohen Gadol, how he starts his work. So the Pasuk says, Shivas Yomim Yilboshom HaKohen Tachtov Mibonov. For 7 days, the Kohen, who's now becoming a Kohen Gadol, will wear the eight clothes. And who is it talking about? The Poshup Shat is the one who is serving in place of the one before, Tachtov Mibonov, the one that was serving in place of the Kohen Gadol before him. Asher Yavo Yaloi El Moed L'Shoris B'Kodesh. The condition for this is that he is somebody who can serve in the Ohel Moed, which means that somebody who can actually do the Avodah on Yom Kippur. A type of person who can do the Avodah on Yom Kippur, his son takes over. That means that when it says that Yilbosham HaKohen Tachtov Mibonov, what type of Kohen is replaced, his job is inherited by his son? Only a type of Kohen who can come into the Ohel Moed L'Shoris B'Kodesh. Only a type of Kohen who is fit to come into the Heichal, into the Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom Kippur with the clothes, that means he's a fully fledged Kohen Gadol, only that type of person is Tachtov Mibonov, gets replaced, so to speak, by his sons, to the exclusion of a Kohen Moshuach Milchoma who cannot do the Avodah on Yom Kippur. And the Gemara asks, V'im Isa, if Rav Dimi was right, that the Kohen Moshuach Milchoma also wears the eight clothes, Mirzachazi. We learn out explicitly from Psukim that anybody who wears the eight clothes, anyone who serves in the eight clothes, is able to do the Avodah on Yom Kippur. And therefore, if Rav Dimi is right, then the Kohen Moshuach Milchoma should also be able to do the Avodah on Yom Kippur. And if he can do the Avodah of Yom Kippur, then his son takes over. And that's not what it says in the Braisa. The Braisa says that the Bnoi Shel Moshuach Milchoma is not Meshamish Tachtov. Answers the Gemara, Omer of Nachon by Yitzchok, Hochi Ka'omar. What the Pasuk actually meant was, Kol She'ikr Moshichosei Lo'el Moed. That the Pasuk doesn't mean that anybody who could theoretically do the avodah of the Yom HaKippurim, that could come into the Oil Moed, into the Heichal, with the clothes that his son takes over. No, it's got to be somebody who is primarily, his main job is to go into the Oil Moed. And that's only a regular Kohen Gadol. The Kohen, Moshuach Milchama, according to Rav Dimi at least, he could do the Avodah because he wears all eight clothes. But since that's not his main job is not to be serving as a Kohen Gadol, his main job is only to be Moshuach Milchama, therefore, he's not included in the bracket of Asher Yovei El Oil Moed L'Shoris B'Kodesh, and therefore his son is not in the bracket of HaKoyen Tachtov and doesn't take over from him. Yotzozeh, it excludes the Mashuach Milchama, She'ikam Mashichose, the main purpose of his being anointed was only L'Milchama to take Klal Yisrael to war, and not necessarily to serve as a Kohen Gadol in the Beit HaMikdash. So the Gemara has answered that seeming refutation against Rav Dimi. The Gemara is now going to ask another question. And here we have, let's see the Gemara inside. Moshuach Milchama, this Kohen who's been anointed in order to take Klal Yisrael to war, Einu Meshamish, Loi Ba'arba Kekohen Hedyot, and Loi Bishmoino Kekohen Gadol. You see explicitly in the Braisa that the Kohen Moshuach Milchama, not only does he not serve with eight clothes, he also doesn't serve with four clothes. He can't do that void at all because he doesn't wear the big day kohuna at all. And this is opposed to what Rav Dimi said, where Rav Dimi says that the Kohen Moshuach Milchama also wears is Meshamish Bahen with the begodim of the Kohen Gadol with the eight clothes. And here we have an explicit Braisa that says that the Kohen Moshuach Milchama cannot serve with the eight clothes. Answers the Gemara Omale Abaya. Abaye said as follows, Elo zor mashvisle, are you really trying to suggest that this Kohen Moshuach Milchama is totally estranged? It's as if he's not a Kohen, he can't wear the four clothes, he can't wear the eight clothes, he cannot act not as a Kohen Hedyot, not as a Kohen Gadol. That doesn't seem to make sense, biblically speaking. So it must be Elo, it must be that Kohen Gadol, that Minat Torah, he could wear the eight clothes, as Rav Dimi said, like a Kohen Gadol. Midrabbonon, however, we do not let him serve with the eight clothes, Kohen Gadol, Mishum Eva, because it will cause a type of an anger, type of animosity that the practicing Kohen Gadol will feel that there's somebody who's stepping on his toes, so to speak. You know, what's going on here? That, you know, I'm the Kohen Gadol, you're coming to serve with the eight clothes, you're just the Moshuach Milchama. And therefore we tell the Moshuach Milchama, even though you're allowed to wear the eight clothes and do the Avodah, as Rav Dimi said, midrabbonon, you shouldn't. Kohen Hedyot, and he can also not serve with the four clothes like a Kohen Hedyot, mishum malin b'kodesh v'loy meridin, because we have a rule that in Kedusha, we always go up. We never go down. We always elevate from one layer, from one level to the next. We don't lower the standards. Since this person here is a Moshuach Milchama, we don't let him go down a level and say, oh, just be a Kohen Hedyot and wear the four clothes. No, because biblically speaking, he's like a Kohen Gadol. He's Moshuach, he's been anointed, he could wear the eight clothes. Midrabbonon, because of Eva, we don't allow him to wear the eight clothes. But to wear the four clothes, that would be a lowering of level for him, and therefore he cannot wear that either. So what do we see from here? Abaye explained that even though Rav Dimi, he was right, that biblically speaking, a Kohen Moshuach Milchama does wear the eight clothes like a Kohen Gadol, but practically speaking, we don't let him do that. Says the Gemara, Omale Rav Ada Bar Abba L'Rava. Rav Ada Bar Abba asked Rava a question against what Abaye said now. V'hai Tana, we're about to see a Braisa, Deles Le'eva, it's going to seem to be apparent from the following Braisa that the Braisa does not hold of the concept of Eva, and nonetheless, V'loikom Meshamish, the Braisa is going to say that the Kohen Moshuach Milchama does not serve with the eight clothes. And if he doesn't wear the eight clothes, even though there's no concept of Eva, then it must be that the reason he doesn't wear the eight clothes is because intrinsically speaking, a Moshuach Milchama is not like a Kohen Gadol and doesn't wear the eight clothes. And then again, it will be not like Rav Dimi. The Gemara is then going to answer, even though you thought that from this brayse it's apparent that we don't hold of Eva. The truth is we do hold of Eva, and then we're back to what Abaya said, that even though Rav Dimi is right that Min HaTorah Moshuach Milchama is like a Kohen Gadol, nonetheless, Midrabanon, because of Eva, we don't let him serve with the eight clothes. So let's see this brayse. And this brayse is going to take us to a long list of halachas, where these halachas depend on the five levels of Kohen that we discussed: Kohen Moshuach, Kohen Gadol Merubah Begadim, Moshuach Sha'ovar, Moshuach Milchama, and Kohen Hedyot, how each of the halachas apply of that we're about to see. And the Braisa is going to work through 15 different halachas. Says the Braisa, Dvorim, D'tanya, Dvorim Shebein Kohen Gadol LeKohen Hedyot. We're going to now see the 15 differences in halacha between a Kohen Gadol, let's assume, and we are talking about a Kohen Gadol Moshuach, the best type of Kohen Gadol, which is one that's been anointed when he became a Kohen Gadol, differences between him and a regular Kohen Hedyot, who does not hold any position. The first is Par Kohen Moshiach, which is a Par Habo al Kol HaMitzvos. And we know that any regular person, not necessarily a Kohen, who does an Aveira, that had he done it intentionally, he would be Chayev Koros. If he did it B'Shegeg, you bring a Korban Chatos. However, a Kohen Moshuach, which means a Kohen Gadol who's been anointed, he doesn't bring a regular Korban Chatos, which is a female goat or a ewe, a female sheep. No, he brings a bull, a par. And this is called a Par Kohen Moshiach. It's also called a Par Haboal Kol HaMitzvos. Any of those mitzvahs which B'mezid is Koros, B'Shoigeg would be Chatos, the Kohen Gadol Moshuach brings this Par. And there's many halachas about this Par, which we'll learn about later on in Shas. Another halacha, Upar Yom HaKippurim. We know the Kohen Gadol brings a bull. We've learned about it extensively in Maseches Yuma. On Yom Kippur, he brings his bull. That's called Par Yom HaKippurim. V'asiris ha'efa, which is an everyday halacha, the Kohen Gadol would bring, or they would bring on his behalf, a korban mincha every day of an asiris ha'efa, tenth of efa of flour. That's another halacha that applies to Kohen Gadol Moshuach, and it does not apply to Kohen Hedyot. Then there's a halacha of v'loi pireya, which is a regular Kohen, when one of his relatives pass away, then he lets his hair grow long. However, a Kohen Gadol Moshuach does not let his hair grow long, even if he's lost one of his relatives. V'loi poirim, the rending one's clothes in mourning, that a regular Kohen, when one of his relatives pass away, he is poirim. He's got to tear his clothes at the top of the garment. A Kohen Gadol doesn't. However, aval poirim hu milamata, a Kohen Gadol, a Kohen Moshuach, he does rend his clothes, but just at the bottom of the garment, not at the top. V'ahedyot, however, a Kohen Hedyot, in contrast to a Kohen Gadol, the Kohen Hedyot, he does a regular milamalo, he does the rending of the clothes, he does the kriya in the right place at the top of the garment. Another halacha, v'ein metame likroivov, a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to become tomei even for his relatives, however, a Kohen Hedyot does. Another halacha, umetzuva ala basula, a Kohen Gadol is only allowed to marry somebody who has never been married before, called a basula, and a regular Kohen Hedyot is allowed to marry somebody who is not a basula. Umuzhar ala almona, that a Kohen Gadol, there's an aveira of marrying a widow. And exactly how these halachas and how they apply, what they mean, is not the discussion for here. However, a regular Kohen Hedyot is allowed to marry an almona, not allowed to marry a grusha, a divorced woman, but an almona is allowed to. Another halacha, umachzir es haroitzeach. We know that there were people who killed, if somebody killed somebody else by mistake, then in certain cases he has to run away to the Orei Miklot, the cities of refuge, and he would wait there until the Kohen Gadol dies. It's only the Kohen Gadol who dies, the Kohen Gadol HaMoshuach, that when he dies, then the people in the Orei Miklot, they get released. However, if a Kohen Hedyot dies, obviously, then it would not release anybody who's in the Orei Miklot, it would not set them free. And that's definitely regarding the Kohen Gadol Mashuach. We'll soon see that even a Kohen Gadol Merubah Begadim and the Mashuach She'ovar, if either of them die, it also sets those murderers free. However, Kohen Mashuach Melchama, we'll see it's going to be a Machlokes Tanoim, whether he's included in this bracket or not, but regarding a regular Kohen Hedyot, he's clearly not in this bracket. Umakriv Oinon, Ve'enoi Oichel, that a Kohen Gadol is allowed to bring a korban onto the Mizbeach, even though he's not allowed to eat kochim whilst in an Oinon state. Oinon is the day that one of his relatives died, but a Kohen Gadol, he's allowed to be makriv, but he doesn't eat, and not only does he not eat, ve'enoi Cholek, he doesn't take his part in the korban either. He can't eat it that day, but he's not even allowed to take it in order to eat it in the night at the end of the day. He's also not allowed to take it, but he is allowed to be makriv oinon, but a regular kohen hedyot is not allowed to be makriv oinon. Another halacha, v'noitel chelek barosh, that the kohen gadol, he has the first choice. He can take any portion of a korban that he wishes, and he's got the first rights before it's given to any of the other kohenim. Another halacha, umakriv chelek barosh, and he's got the first right to actually take a korban and offer it up onto the mizbeach, that even though another Kohen may have been busy with that korban, the Kohen Gadol can say, I want to be the one to do the hakrava, to put it on the Mizbeach. U'meshamish b'shmoino kelim, and the Kohen Gadol, when he does the avoid in the Beis HaMikdash, he does it with wearing the 8 clothes, in contrast to a Kohen Hedyot, who can only do the avoid, or he only wears 4 clothes. U'potur al tumas mikdash u'kadoshov, and if by mistake he served or he was in the Beis HaMikdash when he was Tomei, or he came into contact with the Korban whilst he was Tomei, whereas another Korban, a Kohen Hedyot, would have to bring a special Korban for Tumas Mikdash Ukadoshov, a Kohen Gadol does not. And this is something which is, again, it's discussed elsewhere. V'chol avoidos yom ha-kippurim einon k'sheiros elo boy. The whole avoidos yom ha-kippurim that we've learned at length in this Masechta is only kosher with a Kohen Gadol, not with a Kohen Hedyot. So these are the 15 differences between a Kohen Gadol and a Kohen Hedyot. And now the Braisa continues, what's with the other types of Kohen Gadols? The Kohen Gadol Merubah Begadim, who's not been anointed, a Kohen Moshuach She'ovar, one that was anointed possibly, but was only temporarily taking over and replacing a Kohen Gadol, but then he was not long-term, the job was given back to the Kohen Gadol, and the Kohen Moshuach Milchama, what's their status? Says the Braisa, the Chulon Noyagos B'Merubah Begadim, all these halachas that we've learned, all these 15 halachas that apply to a Kohen Gadol, also apply to a Kohen Gadol Merubah Begadim, who he only got his position by wearing the 8 clothes, but it was not actually anointed. Besides for one halacha that we've mentioned before, which is unique to a moshuach, to somebody who's been anointed, chutz mipar habal kol ha-mitzvos, that bull that is brought by a Kohen Gadol, when he does an avera b'shoigeg, which is a type of avera that had he done it b'mezid, it would be chayev koros, then we said the Kohen Gadol doesn't bring a regular korban chatos, he brings this bull, and this only applies to a moshuach, to someone who's been anointed, not to a regular Kohen Gadol merubah begadim. V'chulon noyagos b'moshuach she'ovar, this Kohen Gadol who was anointed but is now no longer in the position of being the main Kohen Gadol because the original Kohen Gadol was put back into position, then all the halachas of Kohen Gadol apply to him. Chutz mi par yom hakipurim v'asiris ha'efa. Even the halacha of par arboal kol ha-mitzvos, since he's been anointed, he would bring it. But the halachas that do not apply to him is the par yom hakipurim, the bull that belongs to the Kohen Gadol, which is done on Yom Kippur, and the mincha that's brought every day, v'asiris ha'efa. Those two are only done by the practicing Kohen Gadol, not by the Mashuach she'ovar. And this is learnt out from Psukim, that there's only one, you cannot have two. Everything else, it doesn't matter, you can have also the practicing Kohen Gadol, also the Mashuach She'ovar. These two, it's a Choyvo Kavua, and therefore it's only by the main Kohen Gadol and not by the Mashuach She'ovar. Now from the very fact that this Kohen, which is a Mashuach She'ovar, we allow him to do the avodah with eight clothes, as we just saw now, besides to the Pariyah Makipurim and the Asiras Ha'ifa, all the other halachas apply. So that means we have a regular Kohen Gadol, either Mashuach or Merubah Begadim, who's practicing with eight clothes, and a Mashuach She'ovar, which is a retired Kohen Gadol, a Kohen Gadol who's no longer practicing, and he is also being Mashamish B'Shmein and Begadim. So you see clearly that there is no concept of Eva. And nonetheless, the Braisa carries on, V'chulon ein noy hagois b'moshuach milchama. When it comes to the Kohen Gadol, the Kohen who's Moshuach Milchama, whose main job was to take Klal Yisrael to war, that all these halachas do not apply to him, and it would seem, including the Meshamish Begadim, that he does not wear the eight clothes. Why would he not wear the eight clothes, seemingly? Not because of Eva, because if there was a concept of Eva, then the Kohen Moshuach She'ovar also wouldn't wear the eight clothes. If the Moshuach She'ovar wears the eight clothes and the Moshuach Muhammad doesn't, so you see that the reason he doesn't is because he's intrinsically not a Kohen Gadol, and therefore he's intrinsically not fit for the eight clothes. And that is opposing what Rav Dimi said, that a Kohen Moshuach Muhammad does wear the eight clothes. But before we get to that, let's finish the braisa, that chutz michamisha dvorim ha'amurim b'parasha, there are five things that are mentioned in the parasha of the Kohen Moshuach Milchama, that those five halachas he has in common with the Kohen Gadol, and that is loy peirea, that he does not leave his hair unshorn when he's in mourning, v'loy peirem, he does not rend his garment as a Kohen Hedyot would, v'loy mitame lekrevov, he does not become Tommy when one of his relatives pass away, or mitzvah la basula, and there's a mitzvah that he should wear a woman that's never been married before, umuzhar al almona, and there's an issa for him to marry an almona, a widow. And besides for that, umarzir asarutzeach kedivrei Rebbe Yehuda, there's a machlekes, according to Rebbe Yehuda, when the Kohen Moshuach Milchama dies, then those people who killed others by mistake, and they're waiting in the Orei Miklot, they do go free. The Chachomim Oimrim Einei Machzir. The Chachomim ever say that those murderers do not return home when the Kohen Moshuach Milchama dies, only when one of the other Kohenim Gedolim die, which is either Kohen Gadol Moshuach or a Kohen Gadol Merubah Begadim or a Moshuach She'ovar. So either way, what do we see from here? That there's no concept of Eva. We see that from the fact that a Moshuach She'ovar does wear the eight clothes, and nonetheless Moshuach Milchama doesn't wear the eight clothes. You see that he's intrinsically not fit for the eight clothes, not like Rav Dimi. Answers the Gemara, no. It could be kiles le'eva b'dekavosei. It could be that the reason that, like Abaya said before, that a Moshuach Milchama doesn't wear the eight clothes, doesn't serve in the eight clothes, is because of Eva. You're going to ask a question, if there's a concept of Eva, why is the Moshuach She'ovar, a retired Kohen Gadol, why can he serve with the eight clothes? The answer is, b'dekavosei, because they're equal in stature. They were both Kohanim Gedolim, they both held the same position, they were both proper Kohanim Gedolim. However, but the zutur minei, but a type of a kohen who is inferior to the Kohen Gadol, for example, the Moshuach Milchama that was only ever anointed primarily to take Klal Yisrael to war and not to be serving in the Beis Hamikdash as a Kohen Gadol, in that case, islay, there it could be there is a concept of Eva, and therefore there's no contradiction from this braisa to what Rav Dimi said. Continues the Gemara, Yosef Rebavohu v'ko'oma lolho shmaita. Mishmeid Rabbi Yechanon. Rabbi Avohu, he was sitting, and he said over that halacha of Rav Dimi, that a Kohen Moshuach Milchama wears the eight, that the Kohen Moshuach Milchama can wear the eight clothes. He said it in the name of Rabbi Yechanon. And however, Adrinu Rav Ami v'Rav Asi l'apayu, Rav Ami and Rav Asi were sitting there, they turned their faces away in disapproval. They assumed that Rabbi Yechanon never said such a thing. And we'll soon see, why did they just turn their faces away? Why didn't they actually say to Rav Avohu, we disagree with you? We'll see that in a moment. Ikad Amra, others say, a different version, that Rav Chiya bar Abba Amra, it was actually Rav Chiya bar Abba who said this statement in the name of Rabbi Yechanon, the statement that we know from Rav Dimi, that a Kohen Moshuach Milchama can wear the eight clothes. And that Rinu Rav Ami v'Rav Asi l'apayu, and again it was Rav Ami v'Rav Asi that were present, who turned their faces away, saying, we don't agree that Rabbi Yechanon said such a thing. And Maskeflor of Papa, challenged and said, Bishlei mi Rabbi Avohu, if it was Rabbi Avohu that said it in the name of Rabbi Yechanon, Then I can understand why Rav Ami and Rav Asi didn't challenge him. Mishum Yakra de Bekezer, because the Bravo was very close. He was held in high esteem by the household of the Caesar, and therefore they didn't want to challenge Abavo directly. Elo Rav Chiya bar Abba, according to the version that Rav Chiya bar Abba said it in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, then the question is, Neimru lei meimar, why didn't Rav Ami and Rav Asi explicitly say, Lo yomar Rabbi Yochanan hocha, that we don't agree, we assume that Rabbi Yochanan did not say such a thing. And therefore, this second version seems to be rejected from the Gemara, and we just have the first version that it may have been Rav Avo who said over the halacha of Rav Dimi that a kohen moshuach nechama does wear the 8 clothes. And that's min ha-Torah. However, midrabbanon, he doesn't wear the clothes because of Eva. And continues the Gemara, and this is how we're getting back to the Urim v'Tumim, ki osa Rovin. When Rovin came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, Omar, he said that nishal itmar. This whole question of whether a kohen moshuach milchama does wear the 8 clothes, doesn't wear the 8 clothes, it was actually said in reference to the using or to asking the Urim v'Tumim a question. Nish al itmar, it was said regarding the asking the Urim v'Tumim, and Tanina Mihochi, we saw in a brisa to this effect also, that begodim shekoin godel mashamish behem, that the 8 clothes that a kohen godel used to serve in the Beis HaMikdash with, Mashuach Melchama nishal behem. Then when the kohen Mashuach Melchama would ask the Urim V'Tumim, would consult with the Urim V'Tumim whether they should go to war, and the questions that were posed to the Urim V'Tumim by the kohen Mashuach Melchama, when he would ask that, he would wear the 8 clothes, and according to Rovin, he wasn't asking, does a kohen moshuach milchama serve in the Beis HaMikdash with 8 clothes? It could well be that he didn't. There was a halacha that when asking the Urim V'Tumim, he would wear the 8 clothes. And now the Gemara is going to discuss the procedure and a number of different aspects relating to the Urim V'Tumim. Says the Gemara, Tanu Rabbonon, Keitzad Shoalim, how does one consult with the Urim V'Tumim? Says the Gemara, Shoyel Ponov Klape Nishal, the one who is asking the question, which would be either the king, the melech, or the head of the Sanhedrin, he would face the Kohen Gadol, who's being consulted, V'hanishal, and the Kohen Gadol, Ponov Klape Shechina, will be facing the Shechina, which means he'll be looking down towards the breastplate, towards the Urim V'Tumim. Hashoyel Oimer, the one consulting says, and this was typically asked before they would go to war, Erdoif acharei hagdud hazeh. Should I pursue this troop? Vanishal oimer, and the one being consulted would respond, Koyomar Hashem, this is what Hashem said, Alei vahatzlach. Go out and be successful and triumph. Rabbi Yehuda oimer, Ein tzorich leimer Koyomar Hashem. Rabbi Yehuda says, you don't need to say the words Koyomar Hashem. It's enough just to say, Elo, Alei vahatzlach. Continues the Braisa, Ein shalim b'koil, one does not ask, one does not inquire with a loud voice, with a raised voice, shenemer, as it says in the Pasuk, v'sho'al loy, that the question would be heard only by the Kohen Gadol who's hearing the question, it would not be said loud. V'loy maharer b'liboy, but on the same token, it's true that he doesn't have to shout the question, but it's also not good enough if he just thinks the question and asks the question in his heart. Shenemer, as it says in the Pasuk, v'sho'al loy lifnei Hashem, that the inquiry would be done before Hashem. And the Pasuk actually says, v'sho'al loy b'mishpat ha'urim lifnei Hashem al piv yeitzu. And the Pasuk pshat in al piv yeitzu means that, according to Hashem's word, if Hashem responded to the question by saying, alei v'hatzlach, through the Urim V'Tumim, then they would go out. But what it also means is that the question, the words al-piv, doesn't mean only, as it does in the Pshat, referring to Hashem's response, rather it means the question is asked al-piv with his mouth, which means it's verbally expressed and can be heard. Elo kaderech she'omro chano b'tfiloso, the request is verbalized like Chano spoke in her tefillah, she'nemer, it says in the Pasuk, v'chano hi medaberes al-libo, that she was speaking in her heart. And what was actually going on there was that the Pasuk continues that her lips moved, but her voice was not heard, which means that she whispered that she davened with a whisper. It wasn't very loud, it wasn't loud enough that other people can discern what she was saying, but it was not done solely in her heart. Continues the Gemara, in Shealim Shnei Dvarim Ke'echod, one does not ask two questions simultaneously together without first waiting for the answer of the first question before asking the second question. V'imshal, if a person did ask two questions together, ein machzirin elo echod, he will only get the answer for one of the two questions. Which one? Ve'in machzirin le elo rishon, he will only get the answer to the first of the two questions. And we see this from the pasuk shenemar. It says in the pasuk that hayaskiruni ba'alei ki'ilo biyadoi hayered shaul v'goymer. And here, David HaMelech, who was being chased by Shaul, he was in the place called Ke'ilah, and he heard that Shaul was going to come to the place of Ke'ilah. So he had two questions. Number one, is Shaul going to descend to the place of Ke'ilah? And number two, if he does, will the people of Ke'ilah give me over into his hands? Those are the two questions that David HaMelech posed to the Urim V'Tumim. And Vayomer Hashem Yered, and Hashem responded, he will descend. That means there were two questions. One is, Hayazgiruni Bali Ki'ilah Biyodei, will the leaders of Ki'ilah deliver me into the hands of Shaul? The second question was, Hayered Shaul, will Shaul descend to this place? Hashem said, Yered Shaul will descend to this place. Says the Gemara, I don't understand. V'omras ein machzirin elo rishon. Did you not say that only the first of the two questions is asked? It's true that in this pasuk you see that when you ask two questions, you only get the answer for one of them. But we said before that it's the first question that gets answered. And here the second question was answered. Hayered Shaul, will Shaul descend? And the answer is, Vayomer Hashem, Yered, Hashem said that he will descend. Answers the Gemara, David Sho'al Shaleik Seder. The truth is that if you notice the order of the questions, first David HaMelech asked, will the people of Ke'ilah deliver me to the hands of Shaul? And then he asked, is Shaul coming to Ke'ilah? It should be asked the other way around. So the truth is that of these two questions, the first one, the one that was first and appropriate to be the first, was actually the second one. And therefore Hashem answered according to the question that should have been asked first. V'chziro Leik Seder. And he was answered in the right order, which means the first question he should have asked is, Hayered Shaul, is Shaul going to go down? Hashem answered, Yered, he is going to go down. And then the Gemara continues, V'kimon sheyoda sheshoal sheloi kaseida. Once David HaMelech understood that he'd asked in the wrong order, and he should have asked the first question first, is Shaul descending to Ke'ilah? And the answer was yes. Chozar v'shaal kaseida. He then asked the second question in order, Hayazgiru bale Ke'ilah oisi ves anoshai. Are the people of Ke'ilah going to hand over, deliver me and my people, my men, biyad Shaul to the hands of Shaul? Vayomer Hashem yazgiru. Hashem said that they will deliver. And therefore that was the answer to what should have been the second question. The Gemara says, "V'mhutzra chadava v'shnaim," but if it's very important and very urgent to get two answers immediately, without waiting between one question and the next to get an answer for the first question, then marzirin le'shnaim, then indeed he can ask two questions simultaneously and hope to get the two answers simultaneously. Shenemer, as it says in the pasuk, "Vayishal David b'Hashem," and David inquired of Hashem le'mir, "Erdoif achri agdud hazeh." Ha'asigenu, two questions. Number one, should I pursue this troop? Number two, will I overtake them? And Hashem answered him, Radoif, two answers. He answered both questions in one go. Radoif, you should pursue them. Ki haseig tasig, you'll surely overtake. V'hatzil tatzil, and you will surely rescue. So you see that Hashem answered both questions simultaneously. Continues the Braisa, V'afal pish gzeiras novi chayzeres, even though when a decree is said through a prophet, through a Novi, then it's not necessarily that it's going to be that way. For example, Yoino said to the people of Nineveh that Nineveh was going to be overturned. They did Shuvah, and it wasn't overturned. However, Gzeiras Urim V'Tumim, a decree which is said, which is expressed by the Urim V'Tumim, Eino Chizeres, is never withdrawn. Shenemer, as it says in the Pasuk, B'mishpat Ha'urim, that the responses of the Urim are considered a mishpat, a judgment, and a judgment is something which is irreversible. Continues the Braisa. Lomo nikro shmon Urim V'Tumim. Why was it called this Hashem's name, or however it worked, with this the power that the breastplate, the Choshen, held because of what was in it, the Urim V'Tumim? Why was it called Urim and Tumim?
So the Braisa says, Urim, the word Urim is similar to light, because Shamirin es divrayim, they very much enlighten their words are very, very clear. Tumim, why is it called Tumim? Shemashlimin es divrayim, the word Tumim comes from the word Tam, which means complete, because they fulfill their words. Anything that the Urim and Tumim says is always going to become true and is binding. We find a case in the Givas Binyamin that the Urim V'Tumim said something and it didn't happen the way the words were not fulfilled. It didn't happen in the way the Urim V'Tumim said. What actually happened there was that there was one of the people of Binyamin had a Pilegesh, a concubine, and this concubine was violated in a place called Giva, so famously known as the Pilegesh Begiva, and ultimately this Pilegesh died from the ordeal, and the other tribes got very annoyed with Binyamin and came to Binyamin claiming from Binyamin, give us the perpetrators that we can enact judgment to get justice against them, and the people of Binyamin didn't want to. So the other Shvatim went out to war against the people of Binyamin, and they asked the Urim V'Tumim, whether should we go out to war against Bnei Binyamin? The first time that they asked, then Hashem said, Yehuda Batchila, which meant, you can go towards Binyamin. The second time they asked, Hashem said, Alu Elov, go up against him. The third time Hashem said, Alu, go up against them, Ki Mochor et Nenu Biyotcha, because tomorrow I will deliver them in your hands. Which means that the Urim V'Tumim was asked three times. On day one, they got the message to go against war. They went to war, and there were a tremendous amount of casualties. On the second day, they again asked, and were again told, Alu Elov, go up, and there were casualties. On the third day, when Hashem said, Alu Ki Mochor et Nenu Biyodecha, they went again to war, and then they conquered and managed to defeat the people of Binyamin. So what do we see there? That the first two times, even though the Urim V'Tumim said, go towards Binyamin, nonetheless, there were casualties there. Answers the Gemara, Heim shalei bichanu im lenatzeach im lehinotzeach. It was the people who did not determine the first two times whether they were going to win the war or lose the war. They just asked, should we go? The message was, go. But they were not told that you're going to win. Ubachreino, the third and last time, Shebichanu, when they attempted to determine whether they would win or lose, and then the Urim V'Tumim said, Hiskimu, that the Urim V'Tumim agreed with them that they would actually win. Shenemer, as it says in the Pasuk, Upinchos ben Elazar ben Aaron, Oymid lefonov b'yomim ohem leimir. Upinchos, the son of Elazar, the son of Aaron, who stood before the Orin in those days, saying, what did he say? Ha'oisif oyid lotis lamelchomosh, that continued to go out to the war in Bnei Binyamin with the descendants of Binyamin, Ochi, im echdal, or should I desist? Vayomer Hashem, Hashem said, Alu, go up, ki mochor etnenu v'yodecho, tomorrow I'll deliver them in your hands. And that was the third time. The third time was explicit that they would win the war. And indeed, that's what they did. Continues the Gemara. Ketzad Nasis. How, what did the Urim V'Tumim communicate the answer? So to speak, the Shechina, when Hashem was asked the question by the Kohen Gadol, who was asked the question either by the king or by the head of the Sanhedrin or whoever had the permission, the Mashuach Melchom, whoever had the permission to ask the questions, how did the answer come back? Rabbi Yechanan Omar Boltes. Rabbi Yechanan says that those letters would protrude and spell out the answer. Some say this was an argument, some say it wasn't, but Rish Lakish says that the letters would join each other to form a type of response. And some suggest that it's not a contradiction, they do not disagree, it's just different aspects. The letters would first protrude and then they would combine into words. Asks the Gemara, what did it say on the breastplate, which were the letters that would protrude? It said the name of all the tribes, all the Shvatim. If you go through all the Shvatim, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, etc., there's no letter tzaddik there. And if there's no letter tzaddik, how could Hashem respond, Hatzil, Tatzil, that you should go and that you're going to save, you're going to win the war? How would Hashem be able to answer that if there's no tzaddik? Reb Shmuel Bar Yitzchok answered that besides for having the names of the Shvatim on the breastplate, there was also Avram Yitzchok V'Yakiv Ksiv Sham. The names of the Ovis, Avram Yitzchok and Yaakov, were also written there. Asks the Gemara, V'Holoi Ksiv Tess. The letter Tess is not mentioned not in the Shvatim and not in the Avos. Answers the Gemara, Omer Rabbi Abba Yaakov, Shiv Teyushurun. Besides for saying all the names of the Shvatim and the names of the Avos, it also had the phrase Shiv Teyushurun, the tribes of Yeshurun. They were also inscribed there, and hence they had all the letters with which the relevant responses of the Urim V'Tumim would be able to be expressed. Asks the Gemara Meisvei. It says, Yerub Yechon and Rish Lakish, what did they say? They said that the letters in and of themselves would protrude, they would join up, and that's how the answer was given. And the Brisa seems to be not that way. It says, Kol Koyin She'ene Medaber Ruach HaKodesh, any Koyin who does not speak by means of Ruach HaKodesh, who Shechina She'ere Lov, and the Shechina does not rest upon him, Ein She'elim Boy, is not consulted. Such a type of Koyin will not get the answer. She'harei Sha'al Tzodik V'Altzulei, because Tzodik, when he asked, when David HaMelech asked a question to the Kohen Gadol called Tzodik, and Tzodik asked the questions, and the answer was forthcoming, he understood the answer, Evyasar, but when Evyasar asked the question, V'lai Altzulei, the response was not forthcoming, didn't get the answer. Shenemer, as it says in the Pasuk, V'yal Evyasar, Evyasar went up, Ad Toim Kolom, until the entire nation had finished, etc. And we see from there, from the Psukim there, that Evyasar, he tried to get the answer and couldn't get the answer. Now, according to Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, then the letters would protrude and join each other. Why would the Kohen Gadol have to have Ruach HaKodesh for that? Answers the Gemara, Siyua Hava Messiah Ba'adei, that it's true that the letters would protrude and join. However, the level and the Ruach HaKodesh of the Kohen would help the Urim V'Tumim along. And the Gemara doesn't tell us exactly what this help was. Some say that only if the Kohen Gadol was on the right level, then the letters would protrude and join. Others say that the joining process itself was something that was done by the Kohen Gadol with Ruach HaKodesh, exactly how to use the letters that had protruded, how to merge them to write the response that was intended. And therefore the Kohen Gadol had to be somebody who had Ruach HaKodesh, and the Shechina was on him. Continues the Gemara. Ve'ein she'elin elo lemelech. And this takes us back to the Mishnah on Daf Ayin Aleph Amud Beis. The last statement in the Mishnah was that ein nish'olin, when the Kohen Gadol was asked to seek advice from the Urim V'Tumim, it was only when the question was posed either lemelech, when the king asked the question, ula av Beis Din. And as we've said, it's not really the Av Beis Din, it's the head of the Sanhedrin, would ask the question, Ulamisha Tzibur Tzorich Loi, or for somebody who the public need him. And this is referring primarily to the Kohen Moshuach Milchama, who was actually going to take Klal Yisrael out to war. And when he would go out to war, he would be wearing the eight clothes when he went out to war. And those were the only three people who were allowed to ask the Kohen Gadol to ask the question to the Urim V'Tumim. Asks the Gemara, Minoah Namili, what would be the source for this? Omer Bavo, Domer Kro, it says in the Pasuk, V'lefnei Elozar HaKoyen, before Elozar HaKoyen, which is the Kohen Gadol, Yamoid, V'shal, Loi, Bamishpat HaUrim, L'fnei Hashem, Al Piv Yetzu V'al Piv Yavayu, that they would inquire of him for the judgment of the Urim V'Tumim, L'fnei Hashem, before Hashem, Al Piv Yetzu V'Al Piv Yavayu, at his word shall they go out, and at his word they'll come in. Who is going to ask? He, we'll soon see who that is, him, V'chol B'nei Yisrael, and all of Klal Yisrael, Itoi, with him, V'chol Ha'ido, and all the congregation. So who's this referring to? So when it says who, that he was going to ask the question, Zeh Melech. It's referring to the Melech, because there it's speaking about Yehoshua. Yehoshua was going to take Klal Yisrael into the Eretz Yisrael and wage the wars there. You know, the wars that Hashem told him to wage. And the same with Moshe Rabbeinu was called a king, so too Yehoshua is called a king. What do we mean when it says, V'chol Yisrael Itoi, V'chol B'nei Yisrael Itoi, that all of the Klal Yisrael with him? This is referring to Zeh Moshuach Milchama. This is referring to the Kohen who was anointed in order primarily to take Klal Yisrael out into the war. V'chol Ha'ida is referring, Zu Sanhedrin is referring to the Sanhedrin, that the head of the Sanhedrin was also authorized to ask questions of the Urim V'Tumim. Hadron Aloch Bolo Kain Godel B'Siyata Dishmaya. We finished Perek Bolo Kain Godel, and Emir Tzashem will do Chazor on Perek Bolo Kain Godel. And Emir Tzashem, in the next shir, we're going to start the final Perek of Perek Yom HaKippurim. Until now, we were discussing the Yom Kippur Avodah and B'Siyata Dishmaya with tremendous Omol. We've got to this point. The next Perek is going to discuss primarily the Halochas of Yom Kippur itself, the fasting on Yom Kippur, what's Mutar and Osar on Yom Kippur, and is going to take us to the end of the Masechta, B'Siyata Dishmaya.